Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Monday, the 8th of August, here 2011. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll talk with M.K. McDonough about the Canvas Community Arts Studio, and also Brandon Cross will be here to talk about the Pumpkin Fest coming up in a couple of months. That read is Almanac, Bird Note, Music, and more today on a Juneau afternoon. With the forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain later on, low temperatures around 50 degrees, southwest winds to 10 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. Mostly cloudy skies expected on Tuesday with a slight chance of showers and the high temperatures around 62 degrees.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Free take-home STD kits are available to all Alaskans. It's the first time confidential take-home tests have been offered in the state. As KDLG's Daisha Eaton reports, it's a new approach to curbing high STD rates in rural and Native communities.
Alaska had the highest chlamydia rate in the country in 2010 and the second highest rate of gonorrhea.
I know that in 2010 we did have over 6,000 cases of chlamydia and over 1,200 cases of gonorrhea.
That's Connie Jessen. She's the STD program manager with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium in Anchorage. She says the new at-home STD tests are an effort to reduce those numbers.
So we received funding from the Indian Health Service because we have such high STD rates in Alaska. And with that money, we partner with Johns Hopkins University. And anybody in Alaska now can go onto this website and they can order at-home STD testing kits.
Alaska's had the first or second highest rates of chlamydia in the nation for more than a decade. The Alaska Department of Health and Social Services declared an STD epidemic earlier this year. Jessen says the hope is that the kits will address some of the unique issues rural Alaskans face when it comes to STD testing.
And access, obviously, in rural communities is always an issue if you cannot get tested or if you perceive there's a lack of confidentiality and that's why you don't want to get tested. So providing this additional testing service is hopefully going to help identify more people, get them treated, and alleviate some of these issues that we have that are because of Alaska's large size, the remoteness of the communities, and the smallness of the communities.
The kits are mailed in plain brown paper envelopes with basic contact information. Within 2 weeks of sending the test to the lab, people can call a toll-free number or elect to receive an email or a phone call from a nurse to receive their results. If you test positive, you'll be contacted with various options for treatment. The kits are provided through a partnership between the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium and the Indian Health Service, as well as Johns Hopkins University. In Dillingham, I'm Daisha Eaton.
The state of South Dakota has discovered a discrepancy in a sales tax collection having to do with agencies that supply food banks. The state's nine tribes could see some changes as a result. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
The South Dakota Department of Revenue and Regulation conducted an audit in the fall of 2010 and discovered the state hasn't levied handling fees toward food banks in quite some time. By law, the agencies are supposed to pay these fees to the organizations that supply them with the food they give the needy. State Business Tax Division Director Jan Talley says the fees will have taxes added beginning in October. Talley says reservations already have tax-exempt status if the supplies come from within the tribe's land. But she says once supplies leave the reservation, they're subject to the tax. Talley says while many of the affected organizations can apply for tax-exempt status, some who organize the food banks say it's not simple. One Sioux Falls pastor says the idea of putting barriers in the way of those who would help feed the hungry is, in his words, outrageous. Both of the state's largest cities, Sioux Falls and Rapid City, have fairly large Native populations, some of whom could be affected by the levy in the future. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbold.
During this week in 2008, the Assembly of Manitoba Chiefs marked its 20th anniversary as an organization in Canada. Chiefs from 64 bands in the province gathered on the Broken Head First Nation to address issues like economic development, treaties, and governance. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
If you are a Native American who experienced discrimination from the USDA while trying to get a farm loan, you could get a payment of up to $50,000 or more. There will be meetings in locations around the country between July and December 2011 where you can get free legal help filing a claim. More details and a full schedule of meetings is available at IndianFarmClass.com or 1-888-233-5506.
With funding by the Washington, D.C., Albuquerque, and Alaska law firm of Sanofsky, Chambers, Saxe, Anderson, Miller, and Munson. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:06, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our first guest is M. Kim McNunn from the Canvas Community Arts Studio here to talk about some classes coming up and also just a little bit about the Canvas Community Arts Studio if you don't know enough about it already. M.K., thank you very much for being on the show with me today.
Thank you, Jeff.
So for people who don't know, maybe they're tuning in for the first time to the Juneau Afternoon program, what is the Canvas Community Arts Studio?
We are a nonprofit art studio. We are a program of REACH, and REACH is an agency that serves people who experience developmental disabilities of all ages through advocacy, employment, assistance, housing, and through our art program. And we run a rehabilitation program where artists who are REACH clients can work towards daily living goals through the arts, focus or tactile skills, gross motor, fine motor skills. Everybody has different individual goals, and we work at achieving those through the arts. And then we also offer classes for the community in a huge variety of mediums, evenings and weekends.
How many clients do you have?
There are about 40 REACH artists who participate in the program.
And you offer classes throughout the community as well?
We do. We do, all ages.
Ryan Cordes has a show, and I'm going to ask you to give me a visual or virtual tour of this, a non-visual but an oral tour of it. And then we're going to go in the back room where people, other things like take place, like building pots and doing paintings and drawing, things like that happen.
So I would be happy to tell you about Ryan Cordes. A lot of people know one of the first big sculptures he did at Sandy Beach in January during the big Taku winds last year. He built a wind chime out of huge logs. And I saw a video on Facebook, so I went to the beach and checked it out. And lots of people were there. And I looked at it and I thought, I can't wait to meet the man who built this and see what he does next. And a couple weeks later, he appeared in the Canvas and asked about doing a show. And I had a cancellation in our gallery schedule and offered it to him. And he created, and he's a university student right now, UAS. He created this enormous wheel that he out of found objects with spikes that make music. When you turn it, it's attached to a bicycle. So it's set up in the Canvas now. You can get on the bike and pedal it and be willing to make some noise.
Enormous is, I'm not sure if that's right. It's gigantinormous.
It is. You know, it didn't fit through the door, actually. We had to make a few alterations and shove a bit, but it's through, and I guess we'll be able to get it back out eventually, but it's up for the month.
It looks like a large hamster wheel.
It does, and it sounds a lot noisier. And along with that, he has some photographs and some surfboards that he carved out of cedar. And he didn't just carve, I think I want to give credit to the work he put into those surfboards. They look simple, but he worked on getting particular curves, perfect curves, and he didn't necessarily do it the easy way. He didn't bend the wood, but he laboriously carved out the shapes that he wanted, and they're beautiful. He is a man in motion, and this is what the show is about. It's about channeling that energy, which sometimes can be considered troublemaking, through art into a really constructive art form. So through his photographs, his carvings, and his ginormous wheel, I think you can see that pretty clearly when you come into the Canvas.
If you get a chance, make sure you stop by the Canvas Community Art Studio, which is located at the corner of 3rd and Seward Streets, right outside of the Pie in the Sky shop.
Right. Yeah. And at the end of the month, his show will be up all month. And then at the end, I think we're going to host a Final Friday show, which will be on the 26th. This kind of organically sprung up the night of the opening There's some local surf bands in town, people that play surf music, classic surf tunes. So they were pretty excited by his surfboards and said, can we do something? And Ryan's a musician. He was all for it. And I suggested Final Friday. So 7:30 Final Friday. I'll send out more information about that and put it up on our website as it develops. But I think that will be a fun ending to his show. Perfect fitting ending.
He's also got some large-scale photographs, and one in particular impressed me was the one on looking down Main Street, not a view of a typical Main Street, United States of America.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think it's a big city, but it's Juneau's Main Street, and it's steep. And when you look closely, you'll see that there's someone on a skateboard heading down the hill. It's been fun to hear the local stories come up. Somebody was in this morning and said, oh, I remember when my brother lost his brakes on that hill when he was 7. Yeah, not that I'm suggesting anyone try that. I'm just kind of enjoying the stories that come out as people look at that.
So that's the front part of the Canvas Community Art Studio. What goes on in the back room there? It's a fairly sizable back room.
In the main, we have two back rooms. We have a big studio used for painting, drawing, any medium you can think of, sculptural. It's a pretty big room, so it's adaptable to any medium. And then we have a pottery studio that you can't see from the street, and it's a small studio. It has 6 wheels and great hand-building toys, gigantic, kind of like a gigantic Play-Doh room with really nice clay. Right now we have some beautiful porcelain clay in addition to our stoneware. So, and we're doing a lot of raku in our back parking lot as well. So there's the whole world of pottery in the back of the canvas.
I seem to see some of the raku work going on during the weekends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when the parking lot's free, we set up the kiln. It's a propane-fired raku kiln. And we just started a class this weekend. It would be possible for someone to join if they wanted to. They could give a call. I tried to coordinate our raku class and a parent kids clay class this month so that kids would have a chance to do raku. It takes a long time to set up a raku kiln with real fire to get it going and get things fired up to temp. So I designed it so the parent kid class is in the morning and the adults meet all day. The kids who are in the parent-kid class can come back as they like and kind of check on progress in the afternoon. So they're welcome to stay as long as they want or come and go. And so people started making pieces this weekend that we'll put in the kiln the next 2 weekends. So if someone wanted to join, they still could. We have 2 weeks left.
What are some of the most popular activities here? Is it painting, the sculpture?
Yeah. When we were talking about this earlier, I realized that painting and drawing are kind of the root of just about everything we do. We're about to offer stained glass, and we do a lot of mosaic, sculpture, and for almost any medium, we usually begin by drawing, sketching out our ideas, and painting, adding color in some way, thinking about the design and the layout. So drawing and painting are kind of the bread and butter of the art studio, and we have some really fabulous local artists that are kind of the heartbeat of our drawing and painting program. We have Chris Taylor and Jackie Manning, who are both very talented local artists and very talented teachers. Not all artists are great teachers, but these two are, and so we're lucky to have them. We just lined up the whole fall a series of painting and drawing classes, from figure drawing, landscape painting, expressive mark making, all kinds of great class listings coming up.
Must be special working with special needs individuals.
You know, it's very joyful. I've been lucky to work with all ages and all abilities as a teacher and as a student myself. And I have found in my work in the elementary school with kids and in my work in the Reach Art Studio that those populations are really willing to try projects. When I set up a project that sounds a little crazy, like, we're going to start drawing this still life in the middle, and then we're going to get up and move places, and you're going to draw it from a different angle. Think about perspective. Adults, sometimes who don't experience disabilities, might say that doesn't make sense and want to talk through it. But many of the artists in our Dayhab program or kids in elementary schools will just jump right in and do it and create art. And it's very fun to be inspired by that kind of energy.
Speaking of being inspired, do you have some classes coming up this month and next month?
We do. We have, actually, can I tell you about a couple of events coming up really soon?
Who might have stopped you?
I don't want to forget to mention that we are, we have some marimba classes starting up this month, but first we have a concert this Friday. So if you don't know what the marimba is and you want to hear it, at 7 at Marine Park in the brilliant sun, we'll be playing marimbas. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. If it's really rainy, we'll move to the canvas. But if it's nice or just a tiny bit drizzly, we'll be at Marine Park. And the marimbas are just meant to be outdoors. They're big, beautiful, kind of like a xylophone. They're Zimbabwean instruments. And we recently had some artists from Zimbabwe here teach us a bunch of new stuff. So we've been working on that. And we'll be performing Friday at 7 and launching a series of classes starting on the 18th of August for kids and adults. And we also have a really wonderful workshop this Saturday from 3 to 5. Genki Nobori is what we're calling the workshop, and it all sprung out of local artist and teacher Nancy Lanehart. She teaches at the elementary school, and she develops art projects that she shares with the district. And she learned about Japanese artist Susumu Shingo last year, and she developed a school lesson inspired by his work. I have his website listed on our website under our class listings. He makes these beautiful big wind installations. And after the tsunami last year, where he lives wasn't affected, but he was inspired to create some Genki Nobori, which are big, huge wind socks in honor of the people who were affected by the earthquake. And it's a gesture through art to offer hope to people. So he contacted Nancy Lanehart after she'd worked with him over the past year and asked if people in Juneau, particularly youth, were interested in helping to create a piece to send to Japan. And we said, yes. She contacted me then and said, well, can we do it at the canvas? And I said, of course. Of course. So we're going to, the Reach clients are going to make one tomorrow, and then we're going to offer the community an opportunity to make one on Saturday. And we'll send one to Japan, and we'll hang one here at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council office. So please come join us from 3 to 5 on Saturday.
Do people need to bring anything?
No. You can just drop into, it's not meant to last a full 2 hours. We just have, they're big wind socks, but they're only so big. So we're hoping lots of people will come make a small contribution, offer some hope to survivors in Japan. And he, Susumu Shingo, has invited people from other parts of the world as well. He's worked internationally creating sculptures, so he's worked with people in a lot of places, and he's inviting this international contingency of Genki Nobori. So I'm excited about that coming up. And then we have every third Friday, so not this Friday, because you'll be at our marimba concert, hopefully, but next Friday is a poetry slam, and we're really lucky at the Canvas to have a wonderful artist, Christy Nami Erickson, who is a spoken word artist. And she's opened up my ears to the world of spoken word and poetry, and there are poets all over town, Jeff. Lots of young poets. I had no idea so many people wrote poetry anymore. But they do, and so the slams are every third Friday. They're very fun events, all ages. We've had as young as 7 and probably as old as 70. So, and that's, we could take younger and older. So,
cool.
All ages. Maybe I'll tell you more about other classes.
Sure.
Coming up. We have Expressive Mixed Media with Chris Taylor starting next month. And that's working from a model using abstract and figurative painting techniques. So using charcoal, acrylic paints, inks, and really focusing on layering to create form and shape. And then we have Landscape Oil Painting, working from personal photos. And a bunch of pottery classes. Kids Wheel in the fall when school starts. I think we'll offer Kids Wheel on Saturdays, ongoing, and hopefully that will work out. We get lots of requests for kids' pottery classes, and pottery is a multi-week project. You create your pieces, they have to dry before you can trim them, then they have to be fired before you can glaze them. So it takes more than 1 week. So we're going to open up the world of pottery to kids on the weekends this fall. And then we have classes for adults in beginning and advanced and on the wheel and also hand building this fall. And we have a lot of movement classes happening all of a sudden. We have ongoing swing dance on Tuesday nights, which is very fun, kind of play old-timey music and teach some swing dance, and capoeira on Monday nights, which is kind of a Brazilian martial art combining song, dance, and fight. I need to try it. It's kind of amazing, the glimpses I've seen. And then Zumba, which is taught by Erica Lee, and I think she's going to change the name, I hope I can say this on the radio, to Booty Aerobics, because she's not an official Zumba teacher. It's Zumba-inspired Booty Aerobics, and it is high energy. And Erica Lee is a local actor and musician, and she's just fun no matter what. She makes it fun. You can't go wrong. You can't do anything wrong. And then we also have hip-hop. Kim Andre has been offering hip-hop every second Friday for teens and every last Friday for adults. And she's been doing this through the spring and summer, and this is her last month in August. So come down, bust some moves with Kim Andre for teens, specifically second Friday, which is this Friday. This Friday, from 4 to 5 at the campus.
Is it Friday the 13th?
It's Friday the 12th.
12th, okay.
I was born on the Friday the 13th. I think it's a good luck day, I have to say. I just will add that we're also offering this month the Raku workshop. There's still room to join. You still can join a beginning figure drawing class that started last week. We have space for a couple more in that. Lots of marimba starting next week. And then at the end of the month, we have fairy houses made out of clay with Louise Kunstada. And it's working either individually or you can come as a group, like a grandparent and grandkid could come and make a little clay cottage together. I'm excited about that. It's going to be a sweet class. And then next month, we're offering jewelry with Rowan Law and stained glass. That's a new medium for us, with Joel Abbott and Tasha Whalen. And we're launching a series of papermaking and bookmaking classes with Sherry McDonald. So collage and papermaking next month as well. So hopefully everybody will find something.
I'm sure you will.
And in that list.
If people need more information about the classes, your website again is?
CanvasArts.org.
And remind people about the activities happening this weekend.
This weekend, marimba concert at 7, Marine Park, free concert, and then on and also hip-hop, teen hip-hop, 4 to 5 at the Canvas, and that's just suggested donation of $5. Proceeds go to the Canvas. And then on Saturday, a free workshop, Genki Nobori, painting a big windsock for tsunami survivors in Japan.
All right, I'm Kim McNaughton. Thank you very much for coming by. Phone number for Canvas?
586-1750.
And don't forget, first and final Fridays is Surf is Night.
Surf music. More info to come.
Here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 8th of August, 2011. It's the birthday of the physicist Ernest O. Lawrence, born in Canton, South Dakota, 1901. He's a curious child. He and his friend Merle, who went on to become a famous geophysicist, built gliders together, constructed a radio transmitting station. Ernest Lawrence wound up at the University of California, Berkeley, worked at the Berkeley Radiation Lab. And it was there that he invented a machine he called a proton merry-go-round, better known as the cyclotron. He made it out of a kitchen chair, clothes racks, and a pie pan, though eventually he produced a more sophisticated version of the cyclotron, which could accelerate particles and then hurl them at atoms to smash the atoms open. He won the Nobel Prize in 1940 for his invention. It's the birthday of the writer Marjorie Kinnan Rawlings, Washington, D.C., 1896. Lived in Rochester, New York for a time, wrote a newspaper column there, and then moved to Cross Creek, Florida, where she and her husband bought an orange grove. And she published her best-known book there. It was the best-selling novel of the year 1938, The Yearling. And it's the birthday of the poet Sarah Teasdale, born St. Louis, 1884, the daughter of older parents who were always anxious about her. If she had even a mild cold, she was put in bed for days. Grew up thinking of herself as sickly, even as an invalid, when in reality she's probably no sicker than the average little girl. Was not allowed to play with other children. And so she wrote poems and stories to keep herself amused. Her collection, Rivers to the Sea, was a bestseller in 1915, and Love Songs won the Pulitzer Prize. Here's a poem for today by Travis Massotti, Crossing the Gap. Try asking Ernie Watts, a local bricklayer, to explain how, after a long day of work and league night at the Lucky Strike, he can glide across the kitchen floor, old style, hovering like a ghost on his breath, bowling shoes slung over one shoulder, singing Fly Me to the Moon to his wife Cheryl. And when he dips her over the linoleum like it was their first homecoming all over again, ask him to put into words what that sinking is, that shudder in his chest, as he notices the wrinkles gathering at the corners of her mouth. He'd rather tell you about the time they rode the tail of the dragon the year after they'd married, crossing Deal's Gap at the Tennessee state line on his 77 Triumph Silver Jubilee, how they heard talk of a young couple dying on that same stretch of road a week before, and how hard she held on to him that day, curve after potentially deadly curve. Afterwards, in bed, she'll reach for the Virginia Slims on the nightstand, and he'll open the windows behind the headboard as a summer breeze creeps past the lithesome curtains, wild grass and honeysuckle mixing with the tobacco. If the drone and flicker of a gathering storm should disrupt the silence of the room, she'll tighten the wing nut of her body behind his, so close that when her lips brush against the nearly imperceptible hairs on the back of his neck, he'll be convinced there is no other life but this. Crossing the Gap, poem by Travis Massotti, from About the Dead, published by Utah State University Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Produced by Kathy Roach and written by Betsy Allister. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Time. time is 3:31, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. In the studio with me now are Brenda Krause and also Teddy Krause here to talk about the Great Pumpkin Festival coming up on October 8th. But it's never too early to start thinking about pumpkins, is it?
No, it's never too early. We are going to have the beginnings of a state fair at the Jack, also known as the Armory, most of the day on October 8th from 10 to 5, the main event. Lots of events happening. You don't need to grow a pumpkin. If you grow anything that's edible, that can be entered. You can enter anything that you cook with pumpkin or winter squash. If you have a teenager who thinks they might want to try their luck at how quickly they can eat pie, we're having a pie eating contest, the Great Pumpkin Way Off. And that means anything that's grown here in the state, because we're the beginning of a state fair. We want to see what's out there. If you don't want to grow anything, come and see the fun. There'll be music, entertainment, fair food. It's going to be a great time by all, catering to families and individuals alike.
How did the idea for this come about?
How did we get the idea? I got a group of volunteers together. I'm a local botanist and educator and love to grow things. But we don't see, it's like all these secret gardens, you know. It's like we never get to see what people are actually doing in their little garden behind their house. So I decided to bring that out into open. Some people said, hey, why not just go to the Haines Fair? But the Haines Fair now is a wonderful venue, but it moved earlier and earlier into July. So we're worried we can't show anything, you know, until late season.
And your son Teddy there has a couple pumpkin facts. Teddy, you want to talk about the pumpkin facts that you've collected?
Actually, I just know about one thing. That's the farthest any pumpkin's ever been thrown is half a mile.
Yeah, we have some people interested in possibly pumpkin chunking. Now that, we'll see if we think we can do it. We've got to get permission from the Coast Guard. But you can toss via a catapult or other things pumpkins quite a distance. Right. Oh, by the way, if you're growing something and this year you think it might not be fruiting or you know, coming into like a pumpkin, I've been rotting my pumpkins and then growing new ones, you can still enter the vine. We have DOT weights and measures. They're going to preside over measuring and weighing what you bring in. So if the pumpkin doesn't make it or the zucchini or whatever it is doesn't make it, you might want to bring in the vine for the fun of it, and they'll measure it.
What's the biggest pumpkin ever produced here in the state, do you know?
In the state, yes. Dale Marshall, he has grown 1,100 pounds, and this year he's thinking he might even have a 1,500-pound pumpkin.
What do you think the secret of growing a large pumpkin like that is?
Cold frame is really covering that pumpkin as much as you can to get a few extra heat units would be a real helpful thing. And loving it a lot, being out there, you know, to just see what it needs. So I know that there's wonderful hidden gardens, and it doesn't have to be a pumpkin, whatever you grow, and whether it's an herb, anything that you can put on the table, definitely please bring it in. If you want to find information out about this, we have developed a website, and that is at https://sites.google.com/site/GPF State Fair/. Otherwise, please call, leave a message if you don't get a hold of 586-1616. We also have brochures at Foodland, at the coffee stand inside, at Don Abel's, as well as, where else do we have them? We have posters all around town.
We do?
Yeah, we do. And at the Jack itself, the Armory, as you come in, we have brochures.
How long does it take to grow a pumpkin of sizable size?
Once you get it pollinated, and around here there's no bees, so you're out there pollinating by hand, size, you can get a fairly good size in less than 2 months. So if you have still like 40 days, you can still grow a fairly good size. By that, down south, they've grown them even over 1,500 pounds in less than 2 months. So we're hoping and praying for anything that comes. In Juneau, I've grown pumpkins in 25 pounds. I'm hoping for a little bit bigger with any luck.
And this is all happening on October 8th with the setup time of on October 7th. What needs to be set up?
And if you have time to volunteer, please contact us as well at 586-1616. We are decorating so that there'll be food vendors, there'll be places to eat. We'd like youth groups to make presentations on a poster board on the side. We have some of the Lego teams because their theme this year is food safety. We have anything related to food or agriculture, including 4-H through the Cooperative Extension, other groups too, Boys and Girls Clubs, to make displays. So we need to set up the displays, beautify the area. We also need to judge, because everyone who comes in will have some kind of certificate or ribbon of appreciation, but also first, second, third prize like you would find at any fair. So we come in and clean things up, display it. We need a few people even with carpentry skills so that we can display it on tiered tables and such like that. So there's a lot of fun with that. I think that's why we want to allow ample time for setup so people can talk, appreciate what we have here locally. And at the fair itself, too, that would be part of the fun. We have different groups coming on stage, whether it's the young kids from Montessori doing the Great Pumpkin Festival skit, or whether we have musicians that are local, plus slideshow of who does what and how they've grown things, and people on stage coming up to do demos. So we're welcoming it all so that people can really share this day and this harvest festival.
It's coming up on October 8th. I hope you can come down to the station a couple of days beforehand to talk about the final preparations.
I would love to, definitely. And, again, please do contact us. Look for a brochure, a flyer, or just give a call, 586-1616.
And Brenda Krause and Teddy Krause, thank you very much for coming down to the station and talking about the Great Pumpkin Festival on October 8th.
Yes, thank you so much. And to remember to put some pump in your kin. Pumpkin.
All around, moon is up and the sun is down, candles lit in Pumpkin Town. Round we go with the do-si-do when the seasons turn around. Round we go with the do-si-do in the hills of Pumpkin Town. On Icicle Hill, sleds and saucers take a fill. We climb back up as fast as we will. Snow is cold and the air is chill. We stay all day on Icicle Hill. Round we go with the do-si-do when the seasons turn around. Round we go with the do-si-do in the hills of Pumpkin Town. On Mud Puddle Street, falling raindrops keep the beat. We go splish splash in our bare feet, shirts so fine and pants so neat, in big mud spots on Mud Puddle Street. Round we go with the do-si-do when the seasons turn around. Round we go with the do-si-do in the hills of Pumpkin Town. On Daffodil Lane, newborn pony shakes her mane. Birds are silly at the window pane, tulips open in the rain. Air is sweet on Daffodil Lane. Round we go with the do-si-do when the seasons turn around. Round we go with the do-si-do in the hills of Pumpkin Town. In the marigold time, hayseeder, icy, oaksy climb. We eat that watermelon down to the Rhine. Swimming's good, swimming's fine. Lazy days in the marigold time. Round we go with the do-si-do when the seasons turn around. Round we go with the do-si-do in the hills of Pumpkin Town. In Pumpkin Town, Pumpkin Town, leaves turn gold and the wind blows them down. For us to run, jump all around, moon is up and the sun is down. Sleepy heads in Pumpkin Town. Round we go with the do-si-do.
KTOO is supported by Information Insights, providing Alaska public policy research, facilitation, and conference planning from offices in Fairbanks and Anchorage. Information at iialaska.com.
This is Bird Note. With its awe-inspiring vistas and eons of geologic time on display, the Grand Canyon also offers a unique habitat for birds, some very rare. What you're likely to see first are bronzed cowbirds, dark, long-tailed birds strutting on the lawns of lodges and restaurants. Common ravens call and squabble from the branches of scraggly pines. Gazing out across the bright canyon wall, you notice dark shapes floating on the updrafts. Those large birds holding their wings in a broad V are turkey vultures. Suddenly, a large shadow floats across the landscape and you squint up into the sun. For a breathtaking moment, wings 9 feet across float above the canyon rim. The bird banks to show whitish undersides, then drops away out of sight. The largest of all North American birds, a California condor, has dipped his wings to you. Would you like to introduce your friends to BirdNote? Invite them to receive stories each week. It's easy. Begin at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
Thank you.
group called Two Cellos. Time is 3:48, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau.
Peter Kenyon, NPR News.
NPR's Peter Kenyon is coming to Juneau on August 18th. All the way from Istanbul, Peter will talk to the Juneau World Affairs Council at 5 at the Jack. It's a homecoming for Peter, who worked here in Juneau before moving to NPR. Peter has covered countries from Syria to Morocco, and he'll talk about current events in North Africa starting at 5 on August 18th at the Jack. Admission is free, sponsored by the Juneau World Affairs Council, KTOO, and Alaska Longline Company.
Coming up next, Maria Perejia's version of Johann Sebastian Bach's Keyboard Concerto No. 1 in D minor. Thank you. Farahia conducting and performing the piano on the Academy of St. Martin's in the Fields, Keyboard Concerto No. 1 in D minor by Johann Sebastian Bach.
Across Southeast Alaska, Hope Community Resources partners with individuals, families, and communities to provide support that result in meaningful outcomes in the lives of people who experience intellectual and developmental disabilities. Call Hope today at 463-3602 or visit hopealaska.org and discover a world of possibilities. This message is brought to you by Hope Community Resources, helping people with disabilities achieve their dreams.
Tune to KTOO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Ock Bay area, tune to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Huna at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, here KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. And in Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. We're also live online at www.ktoo.org. Coming up tomorrow on a Juneau afternoon, we'll find out about this year's Salmon Derby. Also, Darren Snyder will be here to highlight next week's 4-H Sustainable Harvest Camp. If you'd like to be a guest on a Juneau afternoon or know someone that should be, please give me a call. My name is Jeff Brown. My phone number is 463-6425. The forecast for tonight, increasing clouds, patchy fog later on, low temperatures around 49 degrees. Tuesday, mostly cloudy skies with patchy fog in the morning and slight chance of showers in the morning with high temperatures around 62 degrees. Mostly cloudy skies expected Tuesday night, and Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain. This is forecast for Thursday and Friday as well. Coming up next is All Things Considered. Thank you for tuning in to June Afternoon today, and have a pleasant evening.